You know, I don't, I'm not one to do much where themes are concerned, like a holiday theme or something like that. I just give what the Lord gives me, okay? And if it works for a theme, then yay. If it doesn't, sometimes I'll give you a word in there and I'm like, there you go, there's your message for whatever the holiday is. But I actually do have something where Thanksgiving is concerned this morning, and it has to do with learning to develop a thankful heart, a heart that's grateful to God. You know, we talked the other week about Hezekiah, just for a few minutes, but I was sharing about how in Scripture it says, he did not repay with thanks according to the favor that God had given him. And his heart was lifted up. In other words, God had done all this great, great battle and win for him. But his heart was not grateful according to what God had done for him. And it says his heart was lifted up. You know, it's interesting to me in Scripture how he wanted Israel, God wanted Israel to establish and carry on every year with the feasts. The different feasts commemorated, they were, it was a memory, a festival of gratitude for the things that God had done for them in their past. Like when they, with coming out of Egypt, the Passover feast, even meeting God at Mount Sinai, when God met them at Mount Sinai, rather. And that was at Pentecost. And each of the great things, those he wanted feasts, he's the one who told them to do it. It wasn't like they just came up with it on their own. He told them, I want you to set aside times each year for these different feasts to celebrate and commemorate what I did for you, the great things I did for you. And I want you to pass it on to your kids. Your kids are saying, what's the celebration for? I want you to tell them what I've done. I want them to understand what I did and how I led you out of captivity, how I brought you out with a mighty hand. All the different things, how I met with you at Mount Sinai, all these different things. So they were to understand, celebrate it, and pass it down generation to generation. All these generations later, they would continue celebrating those feasts of what God did. Abraham, even as back to Genesis, Abraham, he's the one God called to leave his family and come to a place that God would show him. And Abraham, when he would have times when God would speak to him or times when God had done something for him, he would build an altar to the Lord. He's just taking stones and making a place to give offering and thanks and praise to God because God spoke to him about something or because God had done something great for him. His son Isaac did the same. They would build an altar to the Lord to give glory to God for what he had done. Or like in Genesis 12, the Lord appeared to him. He built an altar there. In Genesis 13, he spoke to Abram. He built an altar there. Just different things that God had done. They would build an altar. Their kids would come along and see these things. What is this? That's when God talked to Granddaddy. That's when God did so and so. Are you with me? Also, they would dig a well and name it according to what God had done in that particular time and place. That well was a place of refreshing. It was a place to give life. But it also commemorated what God had done. It was a remembrance of what God had done. So every year they're celebrating the feast. They're doing all these different things. Every place they would see, they're hearing what God has done. And even when they crossed over the Jordan River to actually enter into the promised land, he said for them to put 12 stones out as memorials, 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Put out these stones as memorial And I just want to read it to you in Joshua chapter 4, if you want to turn there. Just a couple of verses. Each stone represented the 12 different tribes. And in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4 of Joshua, it said that this will be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come saying, what do these stones mean? Then you answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off. Like God, you know, we only think of the Red Sea. No, God parted the waters there at the Jordan River as well, so that the priests could go across carrying the Ark of the Covenant on dry land, and also so that the children of Israel could cross over on dry land. And he said, you'll answer these kids, that's when the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now listen, I want to say something to you about this. This God we serve is not egotistical. He doesn't need you to tell him how great and wonderful he is. It's not like he needs you to constantly reaffirm him. Are you with me? He doesn't need you to make him feel better about himself. Oh yeah, they really do love me. They really, really do. We're like that a lot, you know. But that's not how God is. Our thanks to God is for our good. And I have some things I want to share with you on that. First of all, it's to help us remember what he did. You know, I'm one to pass on to my kids, and they may roll their eyes sometimes, but I pass on to my kids things in my family, things I want them to know. It was important to me for my grandmama to pass it on to my mama and my mama to pass it on to me, and I think it's important for my kids to know things too. There's nothing more important, though, than you passing on the heritage of what God's done for you. Nothing more important than that. So our thanks to God helps us to remember what he's done, how he's been good to us, how he's provided for us, how he's delivered us, how he protected us, how he has rescued us, how he has saved us. Share those testimonies of those things with your kids. Let them know. Keep that ever alive, the testimonies of what God's done. You know, even the serpent on the pole was a reminder to the children of Israel that God was their healer. That was the reminder. Now, there's several things about developing a thankful heart that I'm going to talk about. Not just thank you, God, for what you did. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But then what he's really wanting after us, from us, is a heart of gratitude. Not where it's just a thank you here and there, but it's a real sincere heart of gratitude for what he's done for us. The first thing is, we know that God wanted Israel to remember and know and teach their children so that they could know as well. All the great and amazing and powerful things so they would know how great and wonderful God is. And part of the reason for that was because he wanted them to know and remember, but teach your children this as well, and your grandchildren and so forth, so that when trouble comes, we already know how great and wonderful God is. We already know he's a healer. We already know he'll raise the dead. We already know he's an amazing provider. We already know the stuff that he will do, how he has protected and kept and saved and rescued us. And so we want to remember those things and teach them so when they get into trouble, that's the first thing they think of. Oh, I remember Mama told me when so-and-so happened, this is what God did. And I can trust God to do this again. God wants them to know that God was enough for everything, more than enough. Teach that to your kids. He's already saved, healed, rescued, delivered, and he would do it again and again and again. I don't have to worry about it, right? So there's that part of it. But then there's also the part of, as I share the testimony of it, the testimony of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy. So as I share the testimony of it, It's prophesying, and there's power on it for God to do it again. So as I'm sharing, not only am I helping you know what God has done, but then as the kids come along and they're sharing it, there's the power on it for God to do that same thing again. As I remember what Mama told me God did for Granny whoever, and now I'm remembering that and I know what God's done, now I am actually prophesying He'll do it again for me. Are y'all with me? It's the same thing for us. There's the confidence of knowing that He's done it, but then there's also the testimony, the power of the testimony of it for God to do it again. How many of you need Him to do stuff sometimes? As we are grateful and we testify of the great things He's done, this prophesizing carries the power to do it again, not just for us, but for our kids as well. I was told one time of a story of, and I have had not thought of this in years, but it just came up in my spirit, so I'm going to tell you. A story about the crow side of my family, that there was a horrible storm, a tornado came up, and they said she gathered the kids. She could tell the weather was changing, like a great-great-grandma or somebody. The weather's changing. Gather the kids. Get in the house now. They got in the house, and they began to pray, and they believed God to protect them. And the whole house was torn up except the room they were in, where they gathered to pray. We have testimonies like that with Madison. Megan. With Megan. She was at a babysitter's house. A tornado came through. Now, the unfortunate part is the babysitter left her asleep and gathered the ones that were awake, and they went and hid in the hallway or bathroom or somewhere. The tornado came through and tore up a whole lot of stuff. And that baby was in the middle of a crib in the sunroom. Windows were blown out. Stuff was torn up. It was a mess. It tore up all around in that room, and that baby was asleep in that crib. Huh? Yeah, the ceiling fan was out in the yard. I'm just saying, the testimony of the Lord is a powerful thing. And that mama of that little girl was hearing stuff in this house and believed God to watch over her kid. Maybe the lady didn't know how to. I'd have fired her. I don't know about y'all. My baby wouldn't have gone back there no more. I don't know about y'all. Forgive you, but she's coming with me. But still, she believed God to look at, the mama who's at work is believing God to look out for her kid. And He did. He did. You see, these things, though, as we hear these stories, don't get mad. Let her go. Forgive her. It's all good. Baby was taken care of. But as we remember these stories and as we testify of what God did, has done, He'll do it again. Amen? Another thing about our gratitude, our remembering of His goodness and of His faithfulness and just having, learning to have a grateful heart, it's also a witness to other people. What the Lord said to them in Joshua chapter 4, down in verse 20, let me find it. Hold on, I went over too far. Down in verse 20 of chapter 4. Yeah. These 12 stones that they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And He spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? You shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we crossed over. Listen, that all the people of the earth would know the hand of the Lord, that He is mighty, that you would fear the Lord your God forever. It goes on in chapter 5, verse 1. And so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before them. Their heart melted and there was no spirit left in them because of the children of Israel. They're like, oh my, their God is amazing. He did that for them. We better be watching out. Listen, it testifies to the nations of the world when God does things in your family and in your home and in your life. It does. Other people see it, hear it, know it. For some, it just scares the snot out of them, but like these nations. But for others, it speaks to them. We want to serve God too. Amen? Now, I wrote down something that I want to share with you, because not only is our grateful heart for our own good, but it witnesses to the world. But I wrote this down. I began thinking about this. As Christians, one of the worst things we can do is complain, especially around other people who don't yet know the Lord. You know, they're thinking, wow, I thought your God was so amazing. Does he not do miracles anymore? Can't he fix stuff no more? Are y'all hearing me? Is he not great enough to help you in this situation? And I got to thinking about this. Instead of speaking his goodness and our gratitude, we're actually complaining about him. Think about that. We're actually complaining about him. In other words, instead of giving witness of the great things he's done, we're actually complaining about what he hasn't done. Do you hear that? We're actually, in front of them, we're complaining. We may not be saying it that way, but we're either going to testify of the great things he's done, or when we're complaining, we're basically talking about what he ain't done for me yet. Are y'all hearing me? I got to thinking about that this morning. God does not like complaining. Remember, murmuring and complaining kept Israel out of the promised land? Remember that? He's ready to kill them because of that mouth of murmuring and complaining. Y'all with me? One time in Numbers 16, the ground opened up and swallowed up Korah and all his gang. Because of complaining. Are y'all with me? And then the people fussed at Aaron and Moses about it and blaming them. And a plague came, got them too. It says that 14,700 people died between the two incidences. God does not like complaining hard. He's a good God. He is a good father. And when we complain, it's like we're saying he's not good enough to take care of stuff for us. Egads. I wrote this statement down. Complaining is an accusation against God that his plan is not good enough or that he's not being faithful to you. It's an accusation against him. It's a complaint against him. And then James 5 carries it further. James 5:9 says, do not grumble and complain against one another, lest you be condemned. That carries a whole unga bunga right there as far as I'm concerned. Like, whoa. Do not grumble or complain against one another, lest you be condemned. Okay, we don't like that part. Let's move on. We don't like any of that, do we? So that was the second part. Then the next part I want to share is this. I want to go back to Hezekiah. Because it said he didn't repay with thanks according to the favor God gave him. But the next part really tells us something. And his heart was lifted up. In other words, pride came in. When we don't give gratitude or proper thanks to God, listen, I said it a minute ago. He miraculously delivered them from the Assyrian army. I mean, they should have had days and days of fasting and thanksgiving, right? But by not giving proper thanks to God, by not having a grateful heart, he became prideful. When he wasn't grateful, pride came in. Are y'all catching that? By not having a grateful heart, he became prideful. Instead, his heart became lifted up. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 8, and I'm going to turn there. You can go back and look at it when you want to. But he told him in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you come into this goodly land that I have for you, when you've eaten and you're full, when you have these beautiful houses to dwell in, when your herds and your flocks multiply, when your silver and your gold is multiplied, when everything you have is multiplied, do not forget where it came from, and your hearts get lifted up. What verse? Oh, I'm just saying all verses. 14. Chapter 8, verse 14. When your heart's lifted up, you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of the house of bondage. And then go back to 10. You can see some of the stuff I just said to you. God's saying, bottom line is, don't forget where it came from. Don't forget to thank Him and to be thankful. When we don't remember, when we don't give thanks, when we don't keep a grateful heart, then we forget. He said that. He said, then you forget, and then your heart becomes full of pride. It gets lifted up. When we're not thankful, when we're not grateful, then we don't remember it. And we start thinking, I got this job. I worked hard to get that education. I'm the one who worked so hard to pay these bills. I'm the one, by the work of my hands, by my hard work, my might, my education, my great wisdom, got me this job, got me this wealth, got me this home, got me this promotion. I worked hard to get where I'm at today. Come on. The Lord said, you must, in verse 18, you should remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gave you the power to get wealth. He's the one who got you the job. Promotion comes from the Lord, the Bible says. Oh, you think you worked hard for it. Who helped you? Who gave you strength? Who made right connections? Who did all that stuff behind the scenes that you didn't know? It was the Lord. It was the Lord. He goes on, he says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gave you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. It's the Lord who is the one who's watched over us and kept us and delivered us and rescued us and healed us. Amen. Raised us up. Not just for your benefit, but that the world will see and know, wow, their God is amazing. That's what God wanted for Israel. He wanted all the rest of the nations to see how amazing their God was. Man, they don't never get sick. Look at how well they're taken care of. Their God did this for them. Because they believed your gods did it for you. They had a God who did all of this for them. Amen. He did it for you. He did it for the generations after you. And He did it for the world to know. The greatness, the faithfulness, the goodness of who He is. So I want to learn to develop a grateful heart always, in everything. I want us to learn. You know, it brings honor to God when you are grateful. When you remember who did it. You know? I mean, sometimes I'll say, well, I'm so thankful for so-and-so, but I will not allow that to get the praise. God's going to get the praise for this. That might have been a help in it or whatever. God's going to get the praise for this. Don't ever, you know, we may have done some great things, but who helped us do it? Always remember that. Always, always, always remember that. I don't care how hard you worked. He gave you strength to do it. He gave you the wherewithal. He gave you the ability. Amen. I want us to learn how to develop a grateful heart. Not just, thank you, Lord. You know, but a continual grateful heart so that in all things and in every circumstance, I can be grateful. I can give thanks. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful. Give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. It's not you're thanking Him for everything. Lord, thank you for the plane that just crashed out there in the yard. No, it's thank you, Lord, in the middle of it. In the middle of hard stuff, I give you thanks. You still have kept me. You know, the tornado tore up that whole neighborhood that day. But in the middle of it, that baby was safe and sound right there in that crib because there was a mama believing because she'd heard testimony of the goodness and kindness and the protection of the blood of Jesus. Amen. I want to learn to give thanks. The Passion Translation says, give thanks to God no matter what happens in life. It helps to form, giving thanks no matter what happens, helps to form a wonderful expression of His life in us. That's a powerful word. I'm going to say it again. Giving thanks to God no matter what happens in life helps to form a wonderful expression of His life in us. So the world sees it. The world sees it. God sees you trust Him. It honors Him. It blesses His heart. But the world sees your God and how good He is. And it causes your heart to overflow with thanksgiving and praise and joy. Amen? Amen. I want to pray a minute and then our principal is going to come up and share something with us before we go, okay? So, Lord, we just ask You to forgive us for places in our life that we've not always recognized that it was You. Maybe with our jobs, maybe with something in the home, maybe with something with our health. Maybe it's just in a situation or a circumstance in life. But whatever the case may be, it is You. You wanted us to always remember. You wanted Israel to remember, but You want us to always remember to give You the thanks in everything. That when we're blessed, remember, it's the Lord your God who's blessed you. When we're whole, remember, it's the Lord your God who keeps you and makes you whole. When you're in your right mind, remember, it's the Lord your God who has helped you. When you're having children, it's the Lord who's blessed your home. May we always remember, Lord, that it's You who has been good to us, who saved and healed and delivered and set us free. Forgive us for the times that we've forgotten that. Because then that brings that puffed up heart that it's me that got this wealth. You said that in Your word. that they would forget and think that it was them that got themselves that. And no, it was not. It was you. It was you. We don't ever want to be puffed up with pride because we think we've done something. You moved powerfully at Eastern Wayne High School and others as well. We're not discounting those, but we're a little closer in this one. You moved powerfully, and we give you the thanks for it. And what you started, you are also able to keep. Every one of those boys, no matter how big or small it is, you are able to keep it and to cause it to grow and for others to be influenced and affected by these young men. We give you the praise for it, though. We give you the thanks. The time was right. It was you. It was you. And we give you praise and honor this morning. Help us, Holy Spirit, to develop a heart of gratitude, a grateful, grateful heart unto you, unto our Father God, unto Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sim. She looks like she's got work for us. She's a homework kind of girl. Miss Teacher. She's got schoolwork.
Take out your pencils and a piece of paper, please. I'm supplying the pencil and the paper.
Justice. He's the meanest teacher ever.
You can do it as a couple if you want to.
Y'all can get ready.
There's a little Charlie blessing back there.
What a blessing.
He's so cute. Okay, it's not really an assignment. It's not really homework, but there's a purpose in it. I'm enrolled in an online Bible college out of Orlando, Florida. And part of the thing with it being online is we have an hour. Mine's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. Have like a group I meet with virtually through a Zoom call. And it's amazing how the presence of the Lord can come into your room in rooms all over the, well, it's an international ministry, but when you get together, no time or space. But anyway, we did this Tuesday morning and it just really, it was really a good place to, stop and think. With Thanksgiving coming up this week, and Pastor Joy was telling me about what she was going to talk about, and I was telling her about this, and I said, we could do this as a church. So my assignment, one of my favorites in the Bible is David. And like she was talking about this morning, David had a history. Before he went up against Goliath, he had already killed the bear and something else in the field. The what? The lion? Anyway, he had a history with the Lord, not only in what the Lord had brought him through, but he spent time in the Lord's presence out there while he was keeping the sheep. And he knew what God could do, and he knew who God was. And that's what our testimonies do for us, like she's already said. So the assignment was, for me, they gave us 20 minutes. You're getting the shortened version. And we did it at Bible college the other night, and the girls did a really good job. The assignment was to take about 20 minutes and write a song of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And I took it like, oh, we're writing a psalm, and I love the Psalms. So we're only going to take the length of one song. And I'm not asking you to write a psalm, but I'm asking you in this time just to think about all the times he's come through, when you didn't know where that bill was going to be paid for, when somebody needed healing, when your marriage was falling all to pieces, when you were all the places that you've been. Just take this few minutes, and you can just jot them down on the piece of paper. But I'm going to, before we start, I don't know why mine came out like it is, except I'm extra. But when I started writing, it just started coming. And when it was my time to share, for a minute, I felt guilty. I'm like, oh, man, it sounds like he's all that and everything in my life. And you know what? He is. And I've been doing this thing for 64 years. And I can tell you, in 64 years, and I think maybe 43 or 44 years of marriage, this psalm that I wrote to the Lord is true. So it's not just a feel-good, flowery psalm. Every single word in this psalm is from a true event in my life. So my psalm is, I will praise you all the days of my life. I will lift up thanks to you as long as there is breath in my body. May my last breath be praise unto you. Lord, I praise you for your faithfulness in my life. Never have you failed me. This is 100% truth. Never have you abandoned me. Never have you forsaken me. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, I will praise you for your bounteous provision. Never have you failed to come through with provision. Never have I hungered or had unmet needs. Never have you not provided a seed bed in our home. Faithful and generous is your provision. Lord, I will praise you for being the healer. Never have you failed to heal my family. Never have you left me alone in the valley of affliction. Never have you failed to move miraculously. And I'm talking about cancer, cystic fibrosis, big guns. Lord, I will praise you for my family. Never have you not put the wayward back on track. Never have you not led us through impossible situations. Never have you not brought salvation into every member. Lord, I will praise you for being my peace. Never have you not met me in the midnight hour. Never has your word not settled my soul. Never have you not brought peace that passes all understanding when I would seek you in your word. And lastly, Lord, my beautiful Lord, ever will I praise you for your undeserved, beautiful, fiery love. Never have I felt so much mercy and compassion. Never have I felt so wanted and accepted. Never have I been more excited at the aspect of becoming your bride. I will praise you all my days until I can stand in your presence and I'll tell you face to face. So mine came out as a psalm because I had more time and it just started flowing. But what your assignment is while they sing this song, just jot down the things that mine was about that's happened in your life. If you just put a word, he paid for this, he healed this, he did that. And then you can take it home and pray about it and put more to it if you want to. But I just want you to stop in the service this morning and think about where your stones would be placed, that God asked us to put a stone. Where would your memorial be? What's important in your life that you need to make sure that you thank him for and give him credit for and that you pass on to your children?